Did you see the latest Nintendo newsletter?
Whoa, nice graphics. I'd like to get my hands on that game.
You mean you haven't played it yet? We can play it on my Nintendo Entertainment System.
It's The Legend of Zelda, and it's really rad. Those creatures from Ganon are pretty bad. Octoroks, Tek-Tek's, Leavers, too. But with your help, our hero pulls through. Yeah, go, Link. Yeah, get Zelda.
Awesome.
Intense.
The Nintendo Entertainment System. Your parents help you hook it up. The Legend of Zelda sold separate.
This episode on The Action Room, Tony Wolf versus Producer Mike.
Fight!
Okay.
This is a very special head-to-head episode, action fans, because the geek goddess could not be with us. She had to work late.
I know. She was stolen from us, and now we have to save her from her 9 ex-boyfriends.
Yes, and we have to climb to the top of Donkey Kong. Anyway, so I'm Tony Wolf.
And I'm Producer Mike.
Woo, action fans, we have a rip-roaring, darn-tootin' show for you today, and it's all about crazy things like a Scott Pilgrim trailer and all kinds of stuff.
You're like Robin Williams today.
I'm hopped up on coke, people. All right, we are The Action Room, of course. We are Geek Culture Radio. We've got new shows every Monday and Friday, bright and early. Join our Facebook fan page. Follow us on Twitter.
And please, please, Tony was off Twitter today. I could not take it. I had to take over. I feel like I did an okay job, but nothing compared to what...
You did a great job, Producer Mike.
Tony twirls those Twitters better than any...
I twirl the Twitter baton like I'm in a high school marching band.
No, it's that's your third accent, and we've only done the show in like...
That wasn't even an accent. Anyway, all right, so you can always download our show, or you can simply... click and listen. It is a radio show, and Producer Mike has coined the wonderful term radiosodes for our show. All our episodes, radiosodes.
I was also thinking of audiosode.
Audiosode.
That
sounds
better?
Like a band, like Audio Slave.
Or some kind of audio, like a soda.
Audiosode.
I don't know.
Have it your way with audiosode. No, that's McDonald's.
Three accents and a jingle.
And a song. Let's have our Tony Tally. Anyway, so you can always download and listen to on your MP3, iPod, iPickle, everything off our link that says episodes. We're spelling it out for you because sometimes people ask us, I don't understand, how do I play your show?
You can even now order an audio cassette tape and we'll send it to you.
Yes,
we will
make a mixtape. If you want a 60-minute Maxell or a 90-minute Maxell.
What was the
us know if you want sides A and B, both, or just A.
What was the commercial? It was like the for Maxell. Oh, Real but or Memorex?
Is it Live or is it Memorex? Yeah, the guy in the chair.
Yeah, yeah. That was
no one under 30 will get that. This week, I opened the show with a Mortal Kombat battle because one of the big things this week we're going to talk about, we have a lot of nerd news, is the new Scott Pilgrim teaser trailer hit the internet today, and I was too busy at my job to see it until just now.
What a day to not be on the internet.
Good Lord.
All right, but the other information that we'll just do quickly, because, you know, it's been a long time in the making. We've talked, you know, endlessly about this, but they finally picked a Captain America, and it's Chris Evans, who's also in the Scott Pilgrim movie.
Yes.
I don't know what to think of it. I think we're getting around to the fact that it's fine. If he bulks up, he's a good enough actor. I think he can do it.
I want him to show more range. Everyone is saying, go rent Sunshine is that Danny Boyle who did Trainspotting?
Yeah.
Now, you saw that producer,
I loved
Mike.
It. I thought it was great, and he was great in it.
And he wasn't playing
him.
The typical Human Torch party guy.
Not at all. And I think, in fact, you know, that's the thing. He's
more versatile, hopefully.
He was so good in that we're having a hard time thinking of him as anything else, especially in a superhero film.
Yes.
But in Push, he's not like that.
Right.
In the Scott Pilgrim, he's, I don't think, like that.
Yes.
So it's kind of like... I think he can do it, you know?
And you know what? If they cast him, they believe he can do it.
Yeah.
Now that the bar has been raised so high, you have actors like Robert Downey Jr., Edward Norton, Chris Hemsworth, whatever, Tobey Maguire brought a new level. I think they at Marvel Studios, Joe Quesada, the director Joe Johnston, they must have made a smart choice because they know the expectation. And this is such an iconic character. I would argue that Captain America is Marvel's Superman.
Mm.
Not in terms of his powers, but in terms of the nobility and the fact that he's a good guy with a capital G.
Mm.
And he's, you know, he's really got to be inspiring in the way that Christopher Reeve was. But Captain America can be a little more tough and badass because he's also a military soldier.
I think the biggest issue at this point is just him being so young, you know, especially in comparison to Robert Downey
Jr. Also, by the time they start filming it, he'll be 9 months older.
Right.
And that will show in his face.
Right, right.
Anyway, so, I'm ready. I'm ready to get behind Chris Evans as Captain America.
Oh, okay.
No, not in a gay way.
All right, so let's go right to this interview I did with a friend of ours, Brandon Graham. Now, you can tell us a little bit more about...
Yes, I'll do a little interview about Brandon Graham. Brandon Graham, old friend of ours, old friend of the show, terrifically talented writer slash artist. He has always written and drawn his own comics. He's barely ever illustrated anyone else's comics, and he has very rarely written comics that someone else drew. He came out of the very, very tiny indie comic scene. He originally drew a lot of porn, I think, because that was...
Well, we get into that in the interview and stuff.
And right now, he writes and draws King City for Image Comics, which is an issue-by-issue reprint of the original graphic novel that he did for Tokyo Pop before Tokyo Pop went under. He also does a great book called Multiple Warheads from Oni Press.
And we talk about that, too. It's just
He is now a very respected creator. And it's great to see because we're old friends. We've seen him
struggle
and work his way up and live on ramen noodles. And now he's living on takeout Chinese food.
And he's always had one of the better styles I ever seen
of
anybody.
Yes, he's a truly very unique voice. And he was doing comics in a way that no one else was.
So check out his blog, which is what? Royalboiler.livejournal.com.
Just look it up.
And but here's the interview.
Producer Mike did a phone interview with him.
Yeah. And so let's check it out.
All right.
This is Mike for the Action Room, and I'm on the phone with Brandon Graham. You have this awesome Mobius meets graffiti style. Now, you started doing graffiti in Seattle, where you're from.
I got into graffiti kind of late in my late teens because I didn't know any comic book artists growing up, and I just kind of wanted to be around a scene of other artists, and all of my friends were doing graffiti. So eventually, you know, I kind of broke down. I was like, all right, I'll try this.
So was your style a lot different before this?
I was doing comic books before that. I think it kind of got me a lot more comfortable drawing, you know, because I do a lot of, like, giant marker things, and it kills you when you walk back an hour later and see some horrible drawing that you did that's, like, 6 feet tall.
You have two series right now, one called King City for Image and one called Multiple Warheads for Oni.
Yeah, King City is kind of a spy comic about a guy who uses he's a cat master and uses a cat as a weapon so he can... use this cat to, he injects it with something, and he can look through its ass and use it as a periscope, or he can, he feeds it a key, and it vomits out two keys, and he calls it a copycat. And Multiple Warheads is kind of different. It's more of a fantasy comic about a girl and her boyfriend who's a werewolf. And it started out, when I was first moved to New York, I was doing a lot of porn comics to make money, and it started as one of those, and I was allowed to do whatever I wanted, as long as it had sex scenes in it. So this one, you know, is kind of Russian werewolf thing where this woman's an organ smuggler, and she ends up stealing a werewolf's penis and sewing it onto her boyfriend for his birthday. And I did it like 8 pages, and I liked it, so I kept doing the story, and eventually now it's going to be a color series from Oni starting in November, I think.
I've known you for about 10 years, which I can't believe been that long. And we worked together at a .com in 2000. Now, back then, you were living in the city, New York City, and you had been published, but you were kind of like you were kind of homeless, right, in some respect, doing porn comics with tons of girlfriend drama. Now you're a successful, respected comic book creator living in Canada with your wife. Tell us about these last 10 years, what they've been like. How have you grown as a person, as an artist?
Man, I like how that sounds like an accusation, too. it's been a dramatic 10 years. New York was really strange because I didn't have a plan when I went there and just ended up staying on a lot of people's couches and, you know, kind of just sticking to comics. And the funny thing is that, you know, I was drawing comics the whole time I was in New York, but then when I moved back to the West Coast in I don't even know what year, a while back, I, you know, that's a, when my work started getting noticed. Mm-hmm. So it was like, I don't know. It's been only in the last, 2 years that I've really actually been, I don't know, feeling like a real adult human being. And the marriage has been really interesting. You know, my wife, girlfriend, whatever she is to me, draws comic books too. And so it's really cool to, you know, because, I mean, that killed lots of the relationship drama that I had, you know, 10 years ago, because you have, you know, I've got no girlfriend that's just like, you're staying up all night drawing comics? You know, now I've got a girlfriend who's like, you know, you're going to go to sleep already? We're going to stay up and draw comics.
That's awesome. Yeah, now your wife is Marion Churchill?
Churchland,
okay. And yeah. she's also a brilliant writer-artist in her own right. Now, are you guys going to be collaborating on anything?
We kind of collaborate on a non-official capacity on a lot of things. We're always handing back and forth pages, and we're really hoping to do something with the Conan comic.
Oh, nice.
In a while, but I don't know if, you know, they're going to let me. I was going to write it and she was going to draw it, because I'm obsessed with Conan, and I think she draws better kind of realistic stuff than I do.
The barbarian, not the talk show host.
The barbarian.
Is there an artist you're really into, or, you know, both as far as an illustrator or a music?
Yeah, I mean, I always go back to, like, Mobius and KRS-One. You know, the French comic book artist Mobius, who's big in heavy metal and everything, who just put out a new book that I just got this week. And he's, like, 75, and it's amazing.
Wow.
But so, like, that guy I really admire, because he's, you know, doing, you know, just as good work in his life in his 70s as he was doing in his 40s or 30s or whatever.
Is that your goal, to, like, kind of die at your drawing table?
Maybe in a bed. But yeah, no, I mean, my goal is definitely to do comics my whole life. I think it's really depressing when people get to be like, I don't know, like J. Scott Campbell or something. He's got to be like 35, and I don't know if he's ever going to do a comic again, just because he doesn't have to.
I think Hollywood's done a great job at adapting mainstream superhero comics to film, and now they seem to be looking into the indie world for their batch of blockbusters, like with the upcoming Scott Pilgrim movie. I know you're not a big fan of movies, but do you think your comics could be cool movies, or are you like J.D. Salinger with Catcher in the Rye, and you don't think they can be adapted?
It's not that they couldn't be adapted. I just don't have the interest in movies that I have in comic books. So, you know, I watched a Marx Brothers movie the other day, and I felt like it'd be really fun to make a movie like that, where they have, it was a movie where they had this incredibly elaborate set, and it was just Groucho coming out and making jokes in it. That was kind of cool. But yeah, in general, it's just I have no interest in movies.
Wow. It
keeps me clean.
Well, what if a producer came to you? Would you kind of reject it, or you just kind of like wouldn't be a part of the process?
I would hope that I would be in a position where I wouldn't need it, but you know, it's hard to turn down money, especially if you don't have to work for it.
Right.
I think it's weird to take something that was always meant to be a comic and kind of adapt it. It kind of messes, you know, like Tank Girl. It's like people think of the bad movie now, even though it was a good comic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess it'd be kind of weighing if you wanted to lose kind of the public perception of your stuff. It's like, I don't know, like Hellboy. It was very pretty movies, but I don't think they even tried to capture the feel of the comic book.
Just as a take, because the movie's coming out, you know, are you a fan of Scott Pilgrim, and do you have any intention on seeing the movie?
Yeah, no, I know Mal, who does it. He's a cool guy. I'm sure I'll see it. I don't have as much interest in it as the comic book, but I think it's good, and hopefully, and I know he intends to stay in comic books after the movie comes out, which is really like my big fear when I hear about a comic book movie being made, is you'll never see the artist again.
Which celebrity, if you're aware of any celebrities nowadays,
I know celebrities.
Which
I watch Born still.
Okay,
that counts, right?
Which celebrity would you most like to taser?
To taser?
Yeah.
Oh, man. All of them.
So, but speaking of celebrities, would you like to meet Mobius or KRS-One, or have you?
No, I haven't, but yeah, obviously. I was actually supposed to go to France, where Mobius was at, and a couple of my friends went and got to meet him this year.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, I mean, I'd like to. It's always weird. You always want to meet people in the right situation. I remember one guy, I was really into Poison Elves when I was a teenager,
mm-hmm.
and I got to go meet the creator of that, and he kept his art supplies in a coffin, and I remember it's like 16, he had like this little miniature coffin with his pens in it. It was just the least cool thing he could have ever done. And I actually stopped reading his comic after that. And I've gone back and I've, like, bought them now, you know, at 33 or whatever. I've bought the issues that I stopped reading and enjoyed it and everything, but I always think about that.
That's funny. Yeah, it's a slippery slope to meet your idol. This is Mike for The Action Room, and I've been talking to Brandon Graham. Thanks for being in The Action Room, Brandon.
Yes, thank you, Mike.
Well, Mike, now I think it's time for...
Nerd News!
Okay, in the Nerd News, a very big episode, because a very big 48 hours, Action Fans. Wasn't it a big week for Nerd News?
It was a big neek.
3 days ago, a big neek for big word neek. Dudes.
I was meek.
3 days ago, I was like, I don't know what we're going to talk about. I don't know if there's going to be enough to talk
that's
about.
That's the amazing thing. Things never end. And that's the thing I noticed in trying to do Twitter. It's just this stream that never ends.
It's relentless. It is a dangerous spiral, Producer Mike.
It's dangerous to be a geek nowadays because you can never keep up with everything.
Yeah, there is
there's
that
too
sense.
Much.
You have to plug, tune in, turn on, and plug out and turn off.
But that's
off
your power, Tony. Yes. You can absorb everything. I don't know what that would be. Like,
the absorbing man.
There is an absorbing man, right?
But so I always make sure to turn off the computer for 3 hours and read comics.
Right.
Or watch DVDs.
Absorb in another
absorb
way.
Absorb other information. As long as it's entertainment. Okay. So, let's go to the nerd news. So,
the Sponge. Is there a Sponge villain or hero?
The Parasite.
The Parasite.
Superman's
right,
villain,
well,
the
we're,
Parasite.
I'm calling you the Sponge.
The Sponge. The Information Sponge. The Geek Sponge. Today, while I was too busy at work to see anything, the Scott Pilgrim teaser trailer came out. Now, I knew this was going to come out in front of the Kick-Ass movie.
Right.
What I didn't know, and what was rumored several days ago, was that they might release it online before the movie theater release of Kick-Ass.
It was very much a shock to me, and I was very excited and very happy.
Yes. We love the trailer. We love the 8-bit Nintendo graphics and you know, lettering. The
Although,
music looks great.
Here's the difference. You come from having read it, and yes. I have not.
I have one critique for the Scott Pilgrim trailer, and maybe I'll tweet Edgar Wright personally tomorrow and fuck
and
him
piss
up.
Him off.
I'll show him what's what.
You
no,
should, I think you should be Twittering Michael Cera is the issue.
Yeah, well, the movie's already shot. They're not going to change it for Tony Wolf. So the one problem I had with the Scott Pilgrim trailer... Michael Cera, and people were worried about this, but I was assured by the directors, personally assured, in fact, that his acting range would grow. Scott Pilgrim, am I right, Action Fans? Write into us, write on our Facebook page and comment on this, or Twitter. Am I right in saying that Scott Pilgrim should be a bit of a cooler character? And the four lines of dialogue we see in that teaser trailer, Michael Cera says everything like this. When, for example, when Ramona says to Scott Pilgrim on the bus, if you're going to date me, you might have to defeat my 7 evil ex-boyfriends. Michael Cera replies, your 7 evil ex-boyfriends? And in the comic, in my head, when I read that scene, I hear Scott Pilgrim going, okay, wait, so I have to defeat your 7 evil ex-boyfriends? Like, he's a little clueless, but he's also kind of cool, and he's not a total loser.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see... And then at the end of the trailer, when she goes, next time, don't date someone with 11 evil ex-boyfriends. Michael Cera goes... 7. He just sounds like a girl. He sounds like a mopey, wimpy girl.
And this
oh,
is why...
the Geek Hulk is coming!
Oh, no, it's the Gulk again. And this is why you shouldn't read books. Because you won't be disappointed when you see the movie.
Other than those line readings, it looks wonderful.
Well, here's the deal. I think anybody who's seen this
and
knows,
I'm going to write to Edgar Wright personally.
But everybody knows, they can all see that this looks like an amazing film.
Right.
But I understand what you're saying. Now, here's the deal. I saw like a panel thing online of Brian Lee O'Malley talking about Michael Cera's one notedness acting ability. But he thought that when he saw it, he was surprised to see that he had range and that he can kick ass.
I want to believe in his range. I just don't like what they chose to market the movie in that trailer.
Well, here's the deal. Well, first of all, I think it depends on if you've read it or not. For me, having not read it, I'm convinced. I think it just looks like fun. But I do want to see him kick ass, and I do want to see him change. If he's not tough enough in certain areas, I get it. But it is Michael Cera playing Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not Scott Pilgrim.
And maybe they've decided they only have, obviously, 2 hours to tell the story, whereas in the graphic novels, he can grow and mature over the course of 7 volumes or 6 volumes. maybe they want him real wimpy at the beginning so that when he gets tougher as the movie goes on and he grows up and he sort of takes control, it's more cool, I guess. But I still don't think at the beginning he should be like, you're so many years, my friend.
It is interesting because Michael Cera has, for the most part in all his films, become, you know, he's
he can still, I've seen him in Superbad, he talks like a normal person.
But here's the thing. He's like,
what the hell?
He's never had to be something that's already existed. He's already just been Michael Cera and everything. And he's dominated because he's so good at that Michael Cera character.
Yes.
But now he has to be Scott Pilgrim.
Right.
So the problem is, can he do it? And we'll see.
I believe that he can. I just am not encouraged by his line readings in that trailer.
He definitely couldn't be Captain America.
He couldn't. Maybe he should play Bucky.
No matter how hard he buffed him.
By the way, the Bucky casting will be next with Captain America. Captain America's sidekick, Bucky. That'll be a next
one. Now, who are they saying, Ryan Philippe and Keira Knightley?
There were
Keira
rumors
Knightley.
About Ryan Philippe and or Felipe and Keira Knightley playing some sort of major supporting roles. Now, Captain America can have one of two love interests, Sharon Carter or Peggy, I forget what her last name is, from World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And Bucky, God knows who could be Bucky. Anyway, moving on in the nerd news, ruffle paper. Angela Bassett joins the Green Lantern cast as Dr. Amanda the Wall Waller. Now, in the DC Comics universe, Amanda Waller is a government agent who is known for overseeing an agency that deals with superheroes and metahumans, as they're called.
Mm-hmm.
And she's so big and tough and badass and fat and awesome and tough.
Obviously not fat anymore.
And manipulative. They call her the Wall.
So it's a good choice.
Awesome, yes. Right. And I'm so psyched that there are also like scenes of... you know, the director's chair with the Green Lantern logo on it for the Green Lantern movie, and it's very exciting.
Cool.
I can't wait till they show us a close-up of the ring.
Mm.
One ring to rule the Green Lantern geeks. All right, so also in the news, Nintendo is coming out with, you know, Nintendo has the DS? Well, now they've got the 3DS. Yes, and Nintendo, this is the capper, folks. This game system will have 3D, they claim, without 3D glasses of any kind.
I like that. See, the only problem is...
How is that going to work?
Well, I don't know.
Do I have to put new eyeballs in?
I assume it's going to be some variation of 3D. It can't be the exact same 3D that you do with the glasses, or else why, you know... Because the consoles are going to start doing the... I think it's called stereo optic 3D or something, but you will need the glasses and stuff. So this has got to be some kind of a variation within the screen where it's probably some layered effect or something.
I will admit that as a scientist, given that I am an MIT graduate and a professional scientist...
I had no idea. Oh, I get it. Okay, go ahead.
No, logically and scientifically and just technology-wise, I am fascinated to see how will they come up with 3D effects without glasses.
There's no more details on it until E3 in mid-June. E3 is the big electronics.
Maybe our correspondent TJ Allard will be camped out
outside
E3. That
would be awesome. But then it comes out in a whole another year from now, March 2011.
So mark your calendars. 3D without glasses.
That will be the end of 2D as we know
it. I'll believe it when I see it.
Another accent.
Yes.
The
check
return
it off.
Of the southern accent.
All right.
How many accents can you do, Tony?
47.
Wow.
I've counted.
That's awesome.
When I was
that's like, what is C-3PO? How many languages does he know?
Ooh, that's a great Star Wars trivia question.
We should have a Star Wars trivia contest coming up.
God, I'm trying to replay that dialogue in my head.
You almost talked to Loogie. Right
no. No, okay. I don't know. Please write in on Twitter and our Facebook account, and please, without consulting the internet, if you know how many languages C-3PO speaks, chime in on our Facebook and Twitter, and someone may win a prize. I don't know.
All right.
We'll just arbitrarily, the 17th person wins a prize. Okay. So, thank you.
Why 17?
All right, the whole point is it's an arbitrary non-contest contest.
Why does it have to be arbitrary?
Because it's funnier. Anyway, we've talked enough about 3D and how it's going to ruin all our lives. Or maybe it doesn't ruin our lives all the time, but it's only good for certain movies.
It just ruins producer Mike's life.
All right. So I believe that brings us to the end of the nerd news.
Right.
Next week.
And the end of the show.
Next episode, should we call it The News Nerd?
Why is that?
Because it's inverted.
Why? Why are we inverting anything? You're totally losing me.
I'm trying to come up with an inventive spin on the nerd news. Maybe the news nerd could be like a character. I'm the news nerd.
Kind of like the Noid from Domino's Pizza.
Avoid the Noid.
I thought you were like...
I think the news nerd is me.
Yeah, you are.
Because I just absorb news all day.
Yeah, but you should have a different... Speaking of accents, you should have a character of sorts, you know?
The news nerd. He could be like Brainiac. All he does is assimilate information.
So does he talk like
yes,
this?
Yes, he's cruel and calculating, and all he cares about is more information. There he is.
What is it? News nerd. What should we... what's the information that we should know today?
I was very pleased with the introduction of the Scott Pilgrim trailer. And also there was lots of shit about 3D, which producer Mike, I understand, does not care for.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
All right, anyway, we need to end this episode, so thanks very much for joining us.
We're going
to
talk until the next episode.
Yes, we're going to talk until 3 days from now, so just press play and click and listen, and we'll still be making shit up. Anyway, so Geek Goddess will join us next week.
She won't
episode.
Have any idea what we're talking about.
Yes, she won't have.
But that's always the way.
Welcome back, Geek Goddess. I understand you are what they call hot on Earth. All right, so I'm Tony Wolf.
I'm Producer Mike.
Check out Facebook, Twitter, MP3, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
All right, action fans, thank you very much for listening, as always. I am Tony Wolf.
Producer Mike.
And in closing, this is like a presidential bullet point speech. Facebook, Twitter, The Action Room, click and listen, downloads, Radiosode, 3D, next episode, Geek Goddess, Grant Morrison. Thank you very much. You have been listening to The Action Room, brought to you by the Scott Pilgrim trailer.